And what an opportunity it is to be together with God's people on the Lord's Day. What a wonderful occasion. And yes, we do long for that day in which we will all be ushered into judgment and receive those words, hopefully, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." We look forward to our time in eternity, free from many of the difficulties of this life, one of which we'll speak about tonight. Recently, I've had a few strings of text messages of folks that are in deep concern about the souls of others. One individual sent me a line of text messages concerned that people just don't understand what it's like. He began to express from his heart those things of being in services, being at Bible camp, being at things like EYC, which is Exposure Youth Camp, and CYC, Challenge Youth Conference. You would hear time and time again the admonition that it's hard to be a Christian and to live the Christian life when you're away from services, when you're away from and distance from being able to assemble with your brothers and sisters and give encouragement, but also receive encouragement. The position in which this individual was, they recognized that it is much more difficult, and that the message that had been presented time and time again was indeed true. It is hard. It's difficult. And so we need to be aware of it and just acknowledge the true blessing that it is for us to be able to assemble on an occasion such as tonight. And then another string of messages came and said, "I'm concerned about an individual. They've moved into a place where they're being influenced by ungodly means. And as a result, they're already starting to adapt some of that behavior, some of the language, some of the things they're doing. And it's very concerning." It brought on the idea of living in hard places. And so tonight I want to begin with that question for you to consider. Do you find it difficult? Do you find it difficult to live faithful to God in hard places? Hard places might be acknowledged as places where one is in the company of worldly friends, or in a wicked city, or maybe in a specific house under specific circumstances, maybe in an ornate residence, or maybe in a godless court, or maybe in the face of persecution. According to Psalm chapter 1, we should be aware, we should be concerned, we should be cautious about where we walk and where we stand and where we sit, lest we find ourselves in some hard places. Some of those places that would easily tempt us to go against our faith, if not give up our faith altogether. When we are in hard places, whether by our own choices or by the offerings of others, can we remain faithful? How? How can a person remain faithful in such places? Well, it is of encouragement to us that when we go to the Scriptures, that we find that men have long lived in hard places, and many of them have been faithful. Faithful all the way to the very end. And so as we study tonight, I pray that you will see how one can live and be faithful to God even in hard places. Noah was faithful in a godless world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Then we're faced with a question of what kind of civilization was the ancient world? What kind of civilization was that godless world that Noah lived in? We go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. We find that the sin of the ancient civilization is described for us. The wickedness of man was great upon the earth. The next line emphasizes just how great that wickedness was when the Bible says every intent of the thoughts of his, man's, heart was only evil continually. every thought, every plan, every scheme of man had an evil purpose all the time, never stopping, continually. Can you imagine what the world must have been like? I submit to you that it's probably not much different from the world in which we live today. There are those who are just simply bent on doing evil. And because of it, they taint our world. They make it look as though there are so many more who are godless than those who are godly. But it was during a time such as this that Noah preached righteousness. 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Noah preached righteousness for many years. Some have suggested it was 100 years if you take into consideration that Noah was 500 years old when he begat sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and that he was 600 years at the time of the flood. You're dealing with about 100 years max. You take time for those sons to somewhat grow up and not need the immediate attention of their father, and you're probably looking at somewhere between 50 and 70 years of preaching at the most conservative number. Now, mind you, in a godless world, Noah preached righteousness. Preachers today become discouraged in considerably less time because of the response of hearers to the message, including the lack of response when needed, which is what Noah faced. He preached righteousness. He knew that the people needed to respond to God's call. Yet every day, as he worked, as he preached, he faced the discouragement that those who needed to obey and hear his message were the ones who rejected it. Noah was faithful in a godless world because he did the thing required. If we're going to be faithful in hard places, we are going to have to do the thing that is required. Noah did what he was instructed to do in building an ark, and he preached righteousness. He talked about righteousness. And if we're going to be faithful in a godless world, if we're going to be faithful in hard places, we're going to have to talk about righteousness. The world tells us so many messages about what they want us to be a part of and what we should follow after and what we should do and what we should think and how we should live. They have had enough time of speaking. It's time for us to take up the mantle and to preach and to teach righteousness. Lot was faithful in a wicked city. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Lot's problem was one that was of a moral nature. The whole city was given over to wickedness. Genesis chapter 19. Verses 4 through 11 tell us that the men of Sodom demanded that Lot hand over the two men, the two angels, so that they could sexually molest them. Lot's righteous soul was vexed by the things which he saw around him and the things he was exposed to. The things which Lot was exposed to in a wicked city tormented his soul, 2 Peter 2, verse 8, day after day by their lawless deeds. However, Lot would do his best to lead his family, but in that wicked city, he would begin to lose influence and spiritual power over his family, so that when Lot approached his sons-in-law, and told them about the coming judgment, they could not tell whether he was jesting or being real with his warning to flee the city. Two angels led Lot and his family by the hand and brought them outside the city because Lot hesitated. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. Destruction then came upon the cities of Sodom and the cities of the plain, including Gomorrah. And all of these cities were considered to be wicked. Lot's wife, in leaving, looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. So it was just Lot and his daughters who were saved. But no Christian can find his pleasure and profit in the world and at the same time bear effectual testimony against the world. Lot chose faithfulness to the word of God, which said, "Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." And when God destroyed the cities of the valley, he remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Genesis 19, verse 29. Lot lived at ground zero, if you will, of a wicked city. He tried to warn his sons-in-law, himself hesitating, but then heeding the warning to leave. And the Lord had compassion upon him. Genesis 19, verse 16. If we will choose to be faithful in hard places, God will have compassion upon us as well. Lot, therefore, was delivered from a wicked city because of his faithfulness. We too can be delivered from judgment. Joseph remained faithful in an officer's house. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 9. Joseph was a slave, though not by any fault of his own. He was faithful, though, to his master Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer and captain of his bodyguard. Genesis 39 and verse 1. Joseph himself became a successful man because the Lord was with him. The Lord was blessing him so that everything which he did prospered. Genesis 39 and verse 3. Joseph became Potiphar's personal servant, overseeing his house to the extent that he was placed in charge of all that Pharaoh owned. Joseph, being handsome in form and appearance, was attractive to his master's wife. Genesis 39, verses 6 and 7. Joseph was tempted. He was tempted when Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him. To remain faithful, Joseph refused the temptation, saying in Genesis 39, verses 8 and 9, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against Joseph, sin against Potiphar, sin against Potiphar's wife? No, sin against God." You see, Joseph recognized something that we must recognize, that the world will try to paint a picture that when we sin, we only sin against ourselves or maybe against the one that we commit sin with or maybe the one who is harmed by the sin that we commit. That's simply not the case. When we sin first and foremost against God. Joseph, recognizing that, resisted the temptation. Even in the face of temptation, day after day, Genesis 39 and verse 10, Potiphar's wife made advances toward Joseph. Because he refused, he was slandered when she falsely accused him of coming in to rape her. But Potiphar believed his wife. And so Joseph was thrown into jail, Genesis 39, verses 19 and 20. But even in prison, another place that was hard. Joseph was faithful to God, Genesis 39, verse 21, all the way through chapter 41 and verse 13. You see, Joseph was living a life of faithfulness to God. Come what may, whatever his circumstances, whatever place he found himself in, he was going to be faithful to God. And so he eventually was made ruler of Egypt because he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, Genesis 41, verses 14 through 46. Though seriously tested, and tested as Joseph was day after day after day, it was the grace of God that enabled Joseph to overcome the enemy's assault. Joseph was loyal to God, and he did his best with God's help and patiently suffered disgrace from man. But he remained faithful. He remained faithful to God in a hard place. David was faithful in a king's palace. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23 give the main portion of this discussion, but we'll be all over the succeeding chapters as well. David ministered faithfully to Saul time and time again. When a tormenting spirit caused Saul to become depressed and fearful, his servants encouraged him to bring in a good musician who could soothe him with harp music. Saul agreed and David was brought in. David's music quickly brought relief to the troubled king. Saul became angry and jealous, as time would have it. And so he tried in the immediate context, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8, through chapter 19 and verse 17, he attempted 5 times to kill David. But David was faithful. David was faithful as a shepherd who killed a lion and a bear who threatened his sheep, 1 Samuel 17. The king's musician, he was faithful as that as well. For whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 23. Whenever the spirit came, David answered the call to come and play. David was faithful as the friend of Jonathan, who was made a sacred vow between the two to be loyal to each other, whatever the cost. 1 Samuel 20, verses 12 through 17. David was faithful as the one who was the slayer of Goliath. In fact, when he was there at the battlefield, he questioned why Goliath was being allowed to insult Israel's army and volunteered himself to fight Goliath. He said in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 47, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David was confident that with God on his side, God would be the one to fight the battle, and God would be victorious. And it might not be by the means that men may typically think of, by sword and spear, but God would give Goliath into their hands that day. David was faithful as a king of Israel. He made Israel a great political power, 2 Samuel chapter 5. He developed faithful religious practices in Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 6, receiving then from God a line of perpetual succession known as the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7. David was faithful because David recognized what he needed to do in order to be faithful to God. And he chose to do it. He chose to take the front lines against Goliath. He chose to be a faithful and loyal friend. He chose to be a leader that would lead the nation to power and religious practices. But it all began with David's submission to do God's will, to play for the king, to watch and shepherd after the sheep who were in his care. And the skills which David learned and the abilities which he had paid off huge dividends, not only for him, but for all those who were acquainted with, associated with David. You see, David was recognized by those who called him to play for Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 18, as a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who was a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, meaning a hero of power, a warrior, one prudent or wise in speech, and a handsome man. And the best line of it all comes at the end of verse 18, and the Lord is with him. David was faithful because he used every skill and ability he had to defend the enemies of Israel and to serve the Lord, to do blessings and to bless the lives of others through his relationship with God. So David defended Israel. He faithfully served the Lord, and all those connected to him were blessed because of it. Then there's Daniel. Daniel remained faithful in a heathen court. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. As a young man, he was given the test of moral conviction, and he decided whether or not to defile himself with the king's rich foods. The decision he made was not to be defiled. And we find out later in Daniel chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, that Daniel passed the test. As an old man then, he received the test of worship. And when those who tried to catch him in a trap, tried to find some reason for him to be put away with, the only conviction the enemy could bring against Daniel was that he worshiped God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 5. They had to trap him in his faith and in his faithful practices. And so they went to King Darius and got King Darius tricked into signing a decree that imposed the death penalty for anyone who would pray to any god other than the king for a period of 30 days. But Daniel continued his usual 3 times a day prayers to God faithfully. And for it, he was thrown into the lion's den. But miserable King Darius came the next morning, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel 6 and verse 20. From young to old, Daniel remained faithful in a heathen court. Why? Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, Daniel made up his mind. It's a phrase that means that he set it upon his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's choice foods or with the wine which he drank. I submit to you that this was a sub-decision. For Daniel had already made up his mind, set it upon his heart that he was going to do God's will, and he was going to do God's will come what may. And so when it came down to him being caught between a rock and a hard spot, Daniel's decision was already made that he would not defile himself. This specific occasion was in regards to the king's choice foods and the wine which he drank. Daniel was able to remain faithful because he made an earlier conscious decision not to defile himself. many early Christians were faithful throughout persecution. Among them were Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7, who lost his life. He was stoned to death for what he was preaching and teaching. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 were thrown into prison and warned not to preach and teach in this name anymore because they faithfully served God. We find Paul suffering persecution time and time again. Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 16, and again in chapter 17, chapter 21, and then in chapters 23 through 26. Every single chapter, Paul faces some persecution at the hands of wicked and lawless men. Though people of God are persecuted from time to time or for an entire season of life, Christians can be faithful. Followers of God have been faithful even though tormented, mocked, scourged, arrested, put in prison, stoned, sawn in two, and killed by the sword. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38 point out. But then Hebrews 11 and verse 39 comes. All these were commended by God for their faith. In the face of great persecution, they remained faithful. When Saul persecuted the church, Acts chapter 8, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word, Acts 8 verse 4. If you go to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19, yes, Acts 11, verse 19, you find that those who were scattered went everywhere. They went to different places on the globe, on the map. And as a result of them going various places, they preached. They taught the message to only Jews. But the fact is, they remained faithful wherever life took them. On the run from persecution, they'd find more persecution. It was just a matter of time, because that's what the Christian life will face. When we live for Christ, we will face persecution. Many early Christians were faithful in hard places. And it is a crying need of the church today for believers with Christian convictions who have the courage of their convictions. Every one of these examples we have shared tonight were convicted. Convicted by the message that they received from God Almighty. And because of their convictions, they had the courage to do what was right, come what may, regardless of what circumstances or situation they found themselves in, regardless of what place it was. And their courage led them to tell of their conviction, whether by words or by actions, and most often by both. The church needs believers who will do what God has instructed and also preach or teach righteousness. Believers who will warn the lost and have compassion upon those who are slow to obey and also be faithful to God's commands. Believers who will remain loyal in serious times of testing and temptation and take the way of escape to be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Believers who will draw near to God and bless the lives of others through their obedient life of faith to God. Believers who will not defile themselves by compromising to fit in or to prosper. Believers who will be faithful in hard places and share the gospel in the hard places and everywhere else that they go. Another cry of the church today is for consecrated followers of Christ to pray. Pray for those living in hard places. People living in hard places don't get to assemble with the saints on the Lord's Day. not as they would like. Some are viewing tonight by way of live stream that would love to be here, maybe even more than some who come and assemble with us from time to time. But their situation of life prevents them. Maybe it's a home where a child longs to come and be a part of Bible class and worship, but mom and dad make the choice. Mom and dad prevent them from coming. Maybe it's a home where one is faithful and the spouse is unfaithful. And the spouse makes it hard, makes it difficult for the faithful one to make that decision every single time to come. Pray for those living in hard places. Pray for endurance. We can't remove everyone from their hard place, though we might like to, though we would desire with nothing more. We can't remove everyone from a hard place or a hard situation of life. There are going to be things they have to endure. Pray for their endurance. Pray for the endurance of those in foreign lands who have to go to services in hiding. Those who go to services and go home and can't openly speak of their faith and what they believe and what they practice for fear of harm from outsiders. Pray that they can endure. Pray for the faith of all believers. I don't know if you've ever lived in a time and place where it was hard for you to be faithful. I hope that you've never had to experience it. But if you've never experienced it, do not let it cross your mind that it is outside the realm of possibility for you to one day to be living in a hard place that tests your faith, that tests your morals. Time and time again, we find those whose faith was tested and yet they were able to remain faithful. These are the lessons we need to learn. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful. It carries the idea of proving yourself faithful. And the way we prove ourselves faithful is to be loyal to our Christian commitment, loyal to the decision we made on that day when we gave ourselves to Christ and saying, "I will follow you to the ends of the earth. I will go and carry out your will. I will reach the lost for you. I will do the best I can in living the Christian life. I am determined from this day forward that every decision I make, every place I go, everything I say will be to your glory." That's what it means to be faithful. Keep that commitment, never giving up on believing, trusting, or obeying Christ. And you can do it, even in hard places. In Revelation 2 and verse 13, Jesus acknowledged those in Pergamos, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you where Satan dwells." Wow. Pack it in, if you will. Antipas was faithful to God. He was a faithful witness. He was one who was faithful even in the face of being killed. And he was killed in a place where the world in which he was living, Jesus says, is a place where Satan dwells. But go back to the beginning of the verse. He's speaking to all of those who are in Pergamos, those Christians, when he says, "I know where you dwell." Jesus knows if you dwell in a hard place. Jesus knows if you are faithful to Him in that hard place. He knows. He cares. And one day, you will be rewarded for your faithfulness. Revelation 17, verse number 14, describes the victory that comes to those who are faithful. It says, the Lamb will overcome because He is, as it has been stated several times today in prayer and in Jeff's message this morning and stated now again, He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And those who are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Faithful. Being faithful in hard places may be difficult. Being faithful in hard and difficult times may be extremely difficult. But the message of the Bible is it is not impossible. It is not impossible to be faithful to God. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, my heart goes out to you if you're in hard places or if you're on hard times. But what you need to know is that you can remain faithful. You do not have to compromise. You do not have to give in. You do not have to give up. Keep fighting. Keep working hard. Keep serving God. The question for every one of us this evening: are we faithful to the Lord? Are we faithful to the Lord? Among the many examples which we have in Scripture, they all remained faithful. And we can look at their life, we can look at their decisions, we can look at how they remained faithful. But it's up to us to put what we learn into practice. If you're not faithful to the Lord, make the decision right now to give your life to Him, to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Or if you are a child of God who has wandered away, come home, be restored, find forgiveness. The Lord will forgive, and you can be faithful. Faithful to Him until death. And then He will give you the crown of life. Eternal life. If you want the crown, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.